What's up? This is Movies on Up. You only live once, so why not die with style? I'm Dave, joined by my stylish Fuck you, Alexa. What's up? This is Movies on Up. You only live once, so why not die with style?
All right, wait. We got to do something with that cord.
What do I usually do with it?
Just throw it up around the thing. When you hit the cord, it's akin to hitting the microphone, and it drives me nuts. Oh, God.
Boom.
I'm going to have a full-on meltdown here.
It was Westy saying.
I haven't watched
Parker
the trailer.
Shrink sealing his costume in the new trailer is pretty sweet.
Okay.
That's what interrupted us.
All right. Well,
it's true, though.
Can't argue with the truth.
What's up? This is Movies on Up. You only live once, so why not die with style? I'm Dave, joined by my stylish co-host, who is very much alive, Mr. Ryan.
Thank you. I was zoned in on the death part of that, and I was like, how is Dave going to kill me off this week?
Yeah, I don't think that far ahead, so I just kind of make it up. We are Ryan and Dave. We are Movies on Up. Our tagline for this week, you only live once, so why not die with style? If you know what movie that's from, and you hit us up with the correct movie, and we pick you at moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or Twitter at Movies on Up.
Those are all correct.
Yes. I still don't know them.
it's only been 4 years.
If you are correct and we pick you, you can cross winning a glorious Movies on Up prize package off of your bucket list because you will have one this week.
And cross Freeman. Doing a Morgan Freeman list off our bucket list
yes.
of lists.
This week, Morgan Freeman and some other oldies but goodies try to rob a bank in Going Out with Style. So we thought, hey, we've never done a Morgan Freeman episode, so we're doing our favorite.
Now's a good time.
Yeah. Why not go out in style on our fourth year with, I know we're still like a couple months away from our fifth anniversary, but whatevs. Morgan Freeman episodes. It's been a long time. He's one of those that, this list was interesting for me. Because I think there's a handful that you instantly think
yes.
of, and it's like, oh, those are great.
Absolutely.
But when I think of Morgan Freeman-led movies, I think of like Hard Rain.
Therein lies the rub. I think Morgan Freeman is a fantastic actor, multiple-time Academy Award nominee, but most of the movies I have on here, they're not Morgan Freeman-led movies. He's very high build. He's maybe second build in most of these because that's what Morgan Freeman is. That's fine. Not everyone has to be LeBron. And somebody's got to be Kyrie. And Morgan Freeman is a great second lead in a movie.
Exactly. Like
maybe
second,
the best ever.
Looking back, his first credit's what, 64? So, I mean, we're going on 50-plus years. And going through the list, I feel like he seems to have strings where there's four or five movies in a row that are like, oh, those are classic Morgan Freeman movies. He's got a couple of those. The ones that I love, I really, really, really love. He's in some great movies. He's in some movies that are perfect. I tried to leave off most of those.
Oh, I didn't.
I figured even if you didn't, they'll get talked about.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those ones like when we did the Robert De Niro list, he would be a LeBron. Morgan Freeman's got movies that just come to mind because they're phenomenal movies,
yeah.
and he's really good in them. Like, very rarely do you see, like, even in those
it's not,
the White
up in
House
a,
movies.
Has
Olympus
fallen.
Has Fallen?
Yeah.
And London Has Fallen,
and
which
Angel
I didn't
has
see.
Fallen.
I mean, he was good in that. For what, you know, the movie was, what he was asked to do, he was good. Now, those movies aren't on my list, but he's a guy that has been involved in such good stuff over the years that when you mentioned doing a Morgan Freeman list, I was like, absolutely, this is going to be easy. And it was. The hardest part was just trying to figure out.
Narrow it down to five.
Yeah, narrow it down to five when there are four of them came to mind immediately. And I was like, well, these are my top four. Now I just have to decide what order and find a fifth. And at that point, I'm looking through a good 30 to 35 years of movies looking for just one. And that's tough.
I have like 10 also-rans. And I left out some of the main ones because I figured
they'll be the top three on my list.
Like, there's five, I think, that are obvious.
Yes.
I figured I would go with the Morgan Freeman movies that I love that maybe we haven't talked a ton about, or maybe I haven't mentioned them at all. So I'm interested to see where this list goes because I think the way I approached it and the way you approached it, I doubt we'll have crossover. And then there's a lot of also-rans I still want to mention because there's, it's tricky. He's an interesting one because you think of Morgan Freeman, you think of The Voice.
Yes.
So you think of him as this wise, just, you know, his character in some of his movies are the same thing. But when you look at his career as a whole, he doesn't do the same thing. He's very versatile while staying in his wheelhouse, if that makes sense.
His characters aren't always the same. The role that they serve in a movie oftentimes is.
Yeah.
The characters themselves are different
people. He's not Gary Oldman, where he's transforming into these characters.
Right.
But they're all good in their own way, and they're all. I would never accuse him of, like, oh, he's a one-trick pony.
Like Bill Murray, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he gets
that one trick is phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's my favorite trick.
Yeah, so I'm excited to do this list, so... Your number five favorite Morgan Freeman movie.
My number five is, I would say it's the smallest role that Morgan Freeman has on the list, but I think it shows off what he does really well and manages to be a great movie in the process. It is Edward Zwick's 1989 Glory, starring Matthew Broderick, Denzel Washington, and Cary Elwes. I would not say that Morgan Freeman is anywhere near top billed in this movie. When you think of this movie, if you've seen it, obviously Matthew Broderick and Denzel pop out as they have most of the heavy lifting to do. And they're both phenomenal in this.
Movie.
It's a really, really good movie. Denzel's trip, he plays a former slave, real cantankerous fella whose attitude threatens to ruin this experiment that the Union Army has put together, the first all-volunteer, all-black unit. And I feel like Morgan Freeman has sort of been an old-ass man since the day he was born. And he seems to bring that. We kind of mentioned it not too long ago about the type of character that he plays often. And his characters typically have wisdom that they're imparting. And in this case, he's got sort of a calming influence. And he brings that, I think, to multiple roles. And this was just like the earliest. You mentioned like 88 is when he sort of kind of popped.
Yeah.
This was 89, so I think even so early on, you see him as sort of like the wise guy that's going to be able to moderate and cool everybody down and be a guy that you would look to for advice. He just has kind of that quality about him. It's on full display here in Glory. He's kind of an advisor to Broderick, who plays Captain Shaw, and he's a mentor and sort of peacekeeper with the more volatile trip. And it's actually my favorite Civil War movie. I think it's got a great story to tell. And the last battle specifically, and its aftermath more specifically, I think have some really powerful images to it. I think it's an underviewed Civil War movie, and I don't know why.
This isn't one of those stretches I talked about. When I say, like, oh, I think he really broke through in 88, it was this. I doubt they're on your list. Like Driving Miss Daisy, Clean and Sober, Lean on Me. Those are all great Morgan Freeman movies. Mm-hmm. I mean, Glory of those four was his smallest part, but that movie's so good. I'm sure we talked about it on our Denzel episode because it is one of my favorite Denzel movies.
I don't think we did.
I'm sure I had to have mentioned it.
It
would have been one of
my
also-rans at the very least. Glory's a fantastic movie. If we could do five Matthew Broderick movies, this would be at the top of it.
Glory, Ferris Bueller, Godzilla.
Godzilla trailer. Glory's just so good. I'm not a big war movie guy, but I love this movie. I love the story it tells.
I mean,
it's approached.
It doesn't really become a war movie till like the last half hour.
Yeah.
I mean, it's about the Civil War, but they don't let the guys fight.
No.
There's a battle at the beginning. There's a battle at the end.
Yeah. And it just
Matthew Broderick does not fare well in either of them.
It's a great story. My number five, we talk about how he doesn't really headline movies, but he does have a franchise that he headlined. It's only been two movies, but it was his franchise to take on as he played Alex Cross in 1997's Kiss the Girls, directed by Gary Fleeter, co-starring Ashley Judd, Cary Elwes, again Tony Goldwyn. This movie is really legitimately good. I hate James Patterson as a writer. The Alex Cross character is interesting enough, especially when somebody like Morgan Freeman is playing him, because he's not...
Tyler Perry?
Yeah, he's not this larger-than-life character, and that's the problem with the Alex Cross reboot with Tyler Perry, was Alex Cross isn't Jack Reacher. He's not this larger-than-life guy who...
Not an action hero.
No, and that's why Kiss the Girls and Along Came a Spider, like... If you watch those two movies...
They're not action movies. They're suspense
movies.
Yeah,
and they're not really direct sequels. Like, it's just Morgan Freeman's the same character.
It's kind of like the Jack Ryan stuff.
Yeah, but it's really, really good, and he's a good detective. I feel like if my parents were murdered, I would want Morgan Freeman on the case.
Absolutely.
And plus, I really like the end. Spoiler alert, he shoots Cary Elwes through a thing of milk, and it's fantastic. Because I'll set it up. Cary Elwes turns the stove on and he leaks the gas. He's trying to kill Ashley Judd. And Morgan Freeman comes in and he's like, oh, if I light this lighter, the whole place goes up. Well, shooting a gun would spark and it'd do the same thing. So Morgan Freeman sticks it on a carton of milk and shoots him through it. It's fantastic. But that's my number five favorite Morgan Freeman. That's kind of movie. Anytime I see Kiss the Girls on, I'll see like, oh, how much is left on here? And I kind of,
when do we get to the milk murder?
Exactly. Like I have it in my head. Okay, I need to come back in 20 minutes. Hey Siri, set a reminder for 20 minutes from now. She's actually going to do it.
Yes, she is.
I'll just be like, oh, I got to go watch Morgan Freeman shoot through milk. But it's a good movie.
Whole milk.
I think it's 2%.
No, it's a hole because he put a hole
oh.
in it.
Oh, boo.
No, that boo. Was good.
I quit.
And we're only one movie in a piece. That was in discussion for fifth place on the list, which is just shows how good I think that these lists are going
to
end up being.
Like when you think of like a movie that he led,
yeah,
that's like the first one that comes to mind because what we talked about, like he's generally the
yes.
the second or third build, and he carries a movie from that.
Except spot. For my number four. Which is, I think, the only movie. No, which is, I think, the only movie on my list where he's actually the lead. He's appeared in many Clint Eastwood movies. This one, he was nominated for an Academy Award for. It is 2009's Invictus, obviously starring Morgan Freeman and Matt Damon. I learned a lot Googling Morgan Freeman and Invictus. I didn't realize this was a thing, but if you need an example of perfect biopic casting, look no further than this role. In addition to being a fantastic actor, 5-time Oscar nominee, 1-time winner, he's kind of a dead ringer for Nelson Mandela. So much so that when Mandela died, pretty much every idiot on the internet thought that it was Morgan Freeman that had passed away. Kind of a non sequitur sequitur. I recently watched this video. It was a group of high school kids trying to identify pictures of famous people. And Nelson Mandela was one of the pictures they showed.
Morgan Freeman.
Every one of them said Morgan Freeman. It's hard to blame them because he does look so much like him. And he won an Oscar for playing Nelson Mandela in Invictus. And I'm sure that's what came to their mind. It's like, oh,
they thought about the 2009 Matt Damon
right,
rugby
that's
movie.
That is the Matt Damon rugby movie. That's the guy from that. Morgan Freeman is more famous, according to these kids, than the former president of South Africa. And a man who won a Nobel Peace Prize. So that should tell you all you need to know about Morgan Freeman's career. It's pretty good. Idris Elba's later portrayal of Mandela, I think, was...
Long Walk to Freedom, is that
yes,
what that was called?
Was certainly, I think, a bit more dynamic. But I think that Freeman in Invictus is going to be, for those of us that actually do know who Nelson Mandela is, I think that's kind of the indelible image that we have of Mandela. That's how we're going to think of him. I think it's a great story told by Eastwood with Oscar-worthy performances by both Freeman and Damon, who got nominated as well. And it's my favorite rugby movie ever.
It's up there.
Yeah.
It's up there with for me.
With what else?
Bend it like Matt Damon's character in Invictus. Chris Rock in one of his like early specials has a fantastic Nelson Mandela joke, so I can't hear about him without laughing. My number four, not as funny. It is from a great director, Louis Leterrier, and an even greater action writer, Luc Besson. It is from 2005, starring Jet Li, Morgan Freeman, and the great Bob Hoskins. It is Unleashed. This is one of those that you see the trailer and it's like, oh, it's
the dog movie.
Yeah, it's a dumb Jet Li action movie where he's just a trained killer. I watched it because I trust Besson. I watch Hoskins and Freeman in almost anything. And I think Hoskins is one of the most criminally like underrated actors we've seen in our lifetime because he's amazing in everything, minus the Mario Brothers movie. But he's so good, and especially in this because he's that grittier, that violent evil guy who's raised Jet Li to be a perfect killer, and Jet Li escapes and comes across Morgan Freeman's Sam, who was written for Morgan Freeman. Luc Besson didn't go to any other actors. It was basically Morgan Freeman or bust, and if Morgan Freeman says no, who knows where this movie goes.
They cast Nelson Mandela.
Yeah. Yeah. He still had about 12 years left, 10-ish. But
give or take.
Yeah. It's one of those that looks like a dumb action movie on the surface, but there's more to it. It gives Jet Li more to do than just kick, kick, punch, punch. And I was shocked because he's actually, he's not great in it.
And he's better than you expect a martial arts actor to be.
He's better than you expect. And it's hard because so many actors you put next to Morgan Freeman and Bob Hoskins.
Right.
Nine out of everybody.
JCVD was good in JCVD, but he wasn't acting against a multiple time Oscar award.
You take anybody. Movie. I mean, that's those two actors alone, like just the two of them. But he held his own. He didn't bring it down. And the action was cool when it was. Just a really cool movie that I feel like it was a Jet Li movie. But Morgan Freeman was great in it.
My number three starts the string of, I mean, if it hasn't already started, like, oh, these are Morgan Freeman movies and these are the obvious ones. My number three is another Clint Eastwood movie from 1992 starring the aforementioned Clint Eastwood, Gene Hackman, and Morgan Freeman. It is Unforgiven. Now, this is actually a non sequitur, but I will bring it back around. In full disclosure, I have not seen George Stevens' 1953, apparently classic movie, Shane. But from what I know of it, it certainly does share some thematic beats with this year's Logan, which is why it was in there, as does Unforgiven. If Chucky X wanted to be a bit more contemporary, I think he could easily have watched Unforgiven with Little Laura instead of Shane. Much in the way that we find Logan this year, a violent man who's attempted to swear off a life of fighting, we see Eastwood's Will Money, the murdering outlaw turned pig farmer, trying to deal with the same kind of stuff. Each film centers around a repentant main character who gets drawn back into their former life for altruistic reasons. Kind of Eastwood's pig farm is failing and he's trying to secure a better life for his kids, so he agrees to help this young gunslinger go kill two guys who beat up a couple prostitutes. And along the way, Freeman's Ned Logan, who's an old friend and co-worker, gets roped into this scheme. What I do like about Unforgiven is it seems like it's a great finale for the Western genre. So many times in these old Westerns, bullets are just flying with impunity. People are just getting shot left and right, and there's really no consequences for it. In Unforgiven, the old gunfighters who made a career on killing people are as reluctant to kill someone as somebody who had never done it before. And they each kind of have the same reaction when forced to kill someone. Like I said, it's a fantastic, maybe eulogy for the Western genre, and I find it particularly appropriate given that it was directed by and starring Clint Eastwood, who is a guy that's, if John Wayne is the first guy you think of when you think of Westerns, I gotta believe Clint Eastwood's very close to, if not even number one. So for him to kind of put a period on a very long run for Westerns, I think was very, very appropriate. Certainly the genre has made a little bit of a comeback, you know, over the past decade or so.
A eulogy for what the Western was.
Yes.
But a nice jumping off point for what our Westerns are now.
Yes, now they're much more like Unforgiven than they were like Rio Bravo or something like that.
The Westerns we're getting aren't shoot 'em ups for the most part.
It's not white hat, black hat stuff. You know, all of our characters now, whether it's Batman or take your pick of like anti-hero, flawed, you know, grim character, that's who Will was in Unforgiven.
Yeah. My number three, another one where he's not the lead. It's an ensemble movie. It is from 1998, directed by Mimi Leder. It's the criminally underrated Deep Impact.
If Armageddon
wouldn't have come out within a few months of this, a lot more people would remember Deep Impact. It's by far the better of the two movies. It's not the action movie that Armageddon is. They're two completely different movies. Armageddon is how do we go up to this asteroid and blow it up so that it doesn't destroy the world. Deep Impact is it's gonna destroy the world.
Yeah.
How do we prepare and move on from there? And Morgan Freeman is President Beck, who's put in that tough spot of like, people are gonna die. How do we salvage what we can and move forward beyond it? He's really good. You don't get to say this very often, but Taya Leone's great in this movie. Robert Duvall, Elijah Wood, little Helen Hunt, Lily Sobieski's in there, Blair Underwood, John Favreau, Ron Eldard. Like, it's an awesome movie, and it covers a lot, because you have the space crew. You have Eldar and Favreau, and there's a lot of people on that spaceship. You have, you know, the young loves of Sobieski and Elijah Wood and their families, Taia Leoni, her family. It's a great movie that covers a lot of ground, and it holds up. Yeah, the technology and stuff is dated, but I've rewatched it a few times in the past few years, and it's still a really, really good movie. It's one of those, I talk about moments, the moments it has to hit, it does. And Mimi Leder did a fantastic job with this movie. And yeah, it's an ensemble cast, but they all deliver, especially Morgan Freeman as the president.
I think he was one of your top movie presidents, if I recall.
Probably, because I try to bring up this movie any chance I get.
My number two, Morgan Freeman does not play the president. He plays a criminal in Frank Darabont's The Shawshank Redemption from 1994, starring Tim Robbins and Morgan Freeman. It really shouldn't surprise anyone, and I don't think it would, that Shawshank would be high on this list. It's going to be high on almost any movie list it's on because it's that good of a movie. This is normally the part of the show where I rail against the Academy for not giving a great movie the best picture from that year.
Forrest Gump.
Yeah. And while Shawshank didn't win, neither did Pulp Fiction. And I honestly couldn't pick one over the other.
There was something else that year, too. That year, the Best Picture noms were loaded.
Those, to me, those were the three.
I thought there was at least one more. If only there was something that would tell us.
Yeah. In fairness, I would take both of these movies over Forrest Gump, but the Academy didn't. As good as it was, I think it could have been better. Tim Robbins is fine as Andy Dufresne. But despite being the protagonist, I'm not sure that his character ever demands your emotional focus in the movie. Granted, he's involved in all the drama at the prison. And it seems like you'd rather have the warden and the amazing Clancy Brown get their comeuppance from anyone. It didn't have to be because Andy caught him and got him in trouble. It could have just anything. You just want bad things to happen to bad people, not necessarily, oh, I just want to see him triumph over these guys. But the thing that will always stand out for me about this movie is Morgan Freeman. We think of Morgan Freeman now, and you mentioned it at the top of the show, as kind of life's narrator, and that is almost completely thanks to Shawshank. He's always had a great voice, but the eloquence and his delivery of said dialogue and narrations here, I think, is what makes Morgan Freeman what we think of him as today. Supporting cast in this movie is great, and Darabont really knows how to adapt Stephen King's writing. It's a fantastic movie. Not perfect, but it's pretty damn close.
It's close. When people talk about movies, like, and this might be one of the closest to perfect movies I can think of. Like, it's damn near flawless. Tim Robbins is fine. For what he's doing, it's great. The direction, the pacing, everything about this movie, it's almost flawless. And this, and I'd assume your number one, are like the first two that come to mind.
Yes.
I hold Quiz Show in a higher regard than others. That's the other one that was...
Quiz Show was fun. It was great, too.
It was Forrest Gump, Four Weddings and a Funeral, Pulp Fiction, Quiz Show, and Shawshank. Yeah. And Morgan Freeman was nominated for Best Actor for this. I feel like the way...
Best Supporting?
No.
Oh, Best.
Nominated for Best Actor. I feel like the way they do things now, like, he would definitely be Best Supporting and probably would have beat Martin Landau for Ed Wood. This is just one of those that anybody who's seen a movie, I feel like, has seen Shawshank. And they may not love it.
Yeah.
But I don't think you'll see anybody that's like...
Who's going to say they hate it?
Or even that it's not good. I don't think you'll see anybody who's like, oh, that's the worst movie I've ever seen. Like, is it slow? Is it boring? Maybe. But is it a good movie? Yeah. I think even the most cynical of people would agree that it's a good movie.
It's a good story, too.
My number two... Not a perfect movie. It's a weird one that I feel like there should be a college course specifically on this movie from 2000, directed by Neil LaBute. It's Nurse Betty. This movie is one of the nuttiest, like, craziest, insane, should-be-better rides you would ever go on in, like, a two-hour journey of watching a movie. It's absolutely insane, and I'm not the biggest Neil LaBute fan, although I think I just had a Neil LaBute movie a couple weeks ago, like, so I just keep saying that, but it's such an odd, unique movie that I feel like anybody who has any interest in movies should see it, because it doesn't care about tone. At times it's a comedy, at times it's a violent movie. Like, it doesn't try to make the worlds fit together. Renee Zellweger's actually really good. Greg Kinnear is great. This is when he was at the Kinneariest part of his career. And then Morgan Freeman and Chris Rock as two hitmen that are hunting down Renee Zellweger. And I don't want to spoil, like, there's a scene at the end with Chris Rock that still, like, gives me chills. No matter how many times I've seen this movie, it just, it's like a hole in the heart. I think Chris Rock is, I don't think people appreciate his movie career, which is a weird thing to say, because off the top of your head, you think of Chris Rock. I don't think most people think of a really good actor. But if you look through his filmography, he's done some really good stuff. And he's been just competent enough in a lot of it. This is one of them. Him and Morgan Freeman are just, you have the old hitman and the young hitman. You have Morgan Freeman as the dry man. Chris Rock is Chris Rock. It's just such a good dynamic. I love this movie, and I love Morgan Freeman as this bad guy. Like, we don't see it a ton. He's a hitman. He's out to kill a housewife. That's it. Like, that's what Renee Zellweger is. He's not out to kill bad people. Like, he's paid to kill this housewife, and that's what he's doing. So it's hard to justify his character, but there's that sympathy that he brings to anything he does that's just really, really compelling.
My number one is the first one that comes to mind when I think of Morgan Freeman, and he is the second build in David Fincher's Seven from 1995 behind Brad Pitt and Kevin Spacey. This is, I think, the perfect movie role for Morgan Freeman. I think he's fantastic in it. Somerset is this great counterbalance to Brad Pitt's Mills. He's the mentor for Mills on the job, and he's kind of the sounding board for Mrs. Mills, unbeknownst to Mr. Mills. He's exactly the partner you'd want to have if you're investigating a serial killer. Like you said earlier, that's the detective I'd want investigating a murder, you know, of a family member. Like, this is the guy. Like, this is a great detective trying to work his last case. And as great as Freeman was in this movie, Kevin Spacey just steals it. He is absolutely phenomenal. He Hannibal Lecters this movie. He's not in it that much, but he makes such an impact in the time that he is on the screen. And if you think he should have won an Oscar that year, you would be right. And he did for The Usual Suspects. Kind of hard to argue with that. All right, fine. But it's not hard to argue that Seven was only nominated for one Oscar. Film editing. That was it. No directing nod for Fincher, no Best Picture nomination along with Babe, which got seven nominations that year, or Sense and Sensibility. It is a damn shame that a movie this good got essentially no love on its release. Admittedly, it's dark, but I think the final scene is one of the best written and directed scenes you're ever likely to see. It's so good that Brad Pitt can be kind of bad and it doesn't ruin the climax and actually just makes it one of the biggest dick kicks I can remember in a movie. And it's great. And most of that comes down to Kevin Spacey being one of the best. He's maybe just right behind Benedict Cumberbatch for movie villains.
It's him and Morgan Freeman. So yeah. Brad Pitt has margin for error. Like, yes. I wouldn't say he's bad in that scene, but he's not great.
Right.
But
the other two
are fantastic.
They're flawless.
And granted, for what Pitt has to do in this scene, he has the most work to do.
He does.
So
yes.
I'll give him a little bit of a pass. This is another movie. Like, I try not to throw perfect movie around all that
this
much.
This is a perfect movie.
I feel like your number two, your number one, and my number one, I feel like are all pretty damn near perfect movies. Seven is the obvious one.
Yes.
I think if you ask 10 people on the street their favorite Morgan Freeman movies, all of them are going to say either Shawshank or Seven.
Yeah, I certainly would.
I would too if I, but I wanted to talk about these other movies. The other one that I think is perfect, I don't think it's as obvious of a perfect choice, but if you watch it from 2007, written and directed by Ben Affleck, starring Casey Affleck, Michelle Monaghan, Morgan Freeman, Ed Harris, Amy Ryan, who I think got an Oscar nominee for it. Gone Baby Gone. This is another one of those where Morgan Freeman's in the background, pretty much. He's not the main. Like, it's a Casey Affleck movie, mm-hmm. through and through. This is 100% a Casey Affleck movie. But Morgan Freeman's in it. When he's in it, he's great. And the role his character plays is pretty substantial. So I don't even want to talk about it because I don't want to ruin it. If you haven't seen Gone Baby Gone, I don't want to spoil it. But this is like a great Morgan Freeman movie because you don't see him as the bad guy a lot. He walks the line where some of his actions are questionable, but yet at the core, you can see the motivation.
Do the ends justify the means.
Yes. So, I mean, you understand the motivation, and anybody else does it, it's like, oh, they're just evil. But Morgan Freeman does it, it's like, yeah, I can see that. I see his point. I smell what he's cooking. I love this movie. I think this is what kicked off Affleck as Affleck that we have now, where Oscar winner, Ben, he makes
keep
a movie.
Him behind the camera.
Yeah, because I don't think people took it serious when, oh, Ben Affleck's directing. Mm-hmm. And then this came out.
And who's
like,
this other Affleck that's acting
in
it?
Yeah, and then this came out and it's like, oh, okay. This didn't get the Oscar love that The Town did,
right.
Which came after. Which
this was a better movie.
I think so. I think The Town's fine.
Nothing wrong with The Town, no.
The Town's really good. But I think Gone Baby Gone is, and I seriously, I've said it so many times this episode, but I don't throw around perfect movie all that much. My favorite movies of all time, I would never accuse them of being perfect. But like Gone Baby Gone, Shawshank, Seven, I think those are all, and if you look at one thing that's the same in all three of them, Morgan Freeman.
Yeah. As far as movies I left off, it was tough. I mean, Kiss the Girls was right there at number five. I like Million Dollar Baby a lot. That's the one he won the Oscar for. I think I mistakenly said that he had won for Invictus. He lost that year. It was a crazy year. That was the dude won for Crazy Heart. Colin Firth, A Single Man, Renner from The Hurt Locker, and Clooney for Up in the Air. That is a stacked year. The other one that it was either going to be, I was thinking at it for number five, and I thought, realistically, I like this movie more than Glory. The Lego Movie. I'm a little surprised it didn't make either of our lists.
Well, I left it off because I didn't know if it'd sneak onto yours.
It almost did, but it almost snuck really high because I really liked the Lego Movie.
I had Clean and Sober, which I'm a Keaton guy. Mm. Lean on Me. Yeah. That's a great Morgan Freeman one that I wanted to mention it because I think people have forgotten about it by now. Glory, Shawshank. Outbreak, I think Outbreak's legit. I like Contagion a little bit more, but Morgan Freeman, Dustin Hoffman, like, how you going to go wrong there? Seven, Batman Begins, Dark Knight, obviously. Yeah. Oblivion, which I almost thought you would put.
I like that.
And then Lego Movie.
Yeah.
I mean,
Street Smart, nominated for an Oscar for that, too.
Yeah.
I mean, this one would have been easy to do in a couple of these actors because they've done such good work for so long. Like the Denzel list, we could easily do another Denzel list.
One. Female action stars. We could
yeah, exactly. We've already done that. Hey, diversity. This would be one that I think easily we could probably both do top tens. And I feel like you could probably come up with a top 10 that doesn't take any of my movies. And I'll just take the easy ones.
Yeah.
Because there are that many easy ones with this guy.
Because, I mean, there's some that I was like, oh, that's okay that I left off. Yeah. Like, I didn't even have Driving Miss Daisy on there.
Yeah.
Which, like, that's like...
Nominated for an Oscar for that, too.
Yeah. I mean, that... He's so good in pretty much everything. And March of the Penguins, even. Stuff like that, that he's just the voice of. Like, he's pretty good.
Wasn't half bad as God, either.
No, Bruce Almighty. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean... He sounds like the voice of God. Anybody that tries impressions always has a Morgan Freeman because he's got that distinct sound. Next week, we will be talking about...
Friday.
F. Gary Gray?
Yes.
His new movie?
The Fate of the Furious.
I forgot he's doing that.
Yeah. He's doing that. Neither Dave or I have seen any of the Furious movies, so we decided to go with a different F. Gary Gray movie.
I had Straight Outta Compton on there because I like that movie.
Sure.
And I thought, oh, this is a good chance for us to talk about it. But then when Ryan found out I'd never seen Friday, he wanted to do Friday. So I watched Friday, and we're going to talk about Friday next week. So until then.
Keep it up.